Very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your Yarn in Circle, the Murray Grapevine. National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Nakari, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Is Radio Service. You can have your say by calling from that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from, and to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country of ours. Welcome back, National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong, you mob. Going to jump straight into it. Statement here, don't change clothes, change lives. New research reveals a third of Aussies fear losing their home. We're going to catch up a yarn there with Sonia Tufnell, Senior Fundraiser Manager at Orange Sky, and talk about this space. Sonia, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm really well today. I hope you're well.
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program, Sonia. Where are you based?
We're based in Brisbane.
In Brisbane.
And the land of the Turrbal and Jagera people.
Beautiful. Big shout out to the mob then. That way, thank you very much. First of all, start with Orange Sky. Who's Orange Sky?
Orange Sky is an organisation founded by two young blokes in their 20s about 8 years ago. And they came up with a brilliant idea of putting some washing machines in a van and helping people who were living homeless or experiencing disadvantage wash their clothes. And from there, it's grown to an organisation all across Australia and New Zealand with about 38 different services. Including all throughout remote Australia, and it's a great program.
Beautiful program. Do we know the names of the two young guys?
Yeah, of course, Lucas and Nick, and
then big shout out, Lucas and Nick. Yes.
Yeah, definitely big shout out. They're still actively involved.
Good.
Lucas is CEO. Nick's all about making things better for our friends who are experiencing homelessness.
And when we talk about homelessness, look, it's sad that it's out there, but then we just had COVID-19 and still with us, which has really turned the world upside down. New research reveals one in five Australians have experienced homelessness, and the numbers are climbing, is that right?
Oh, yeah, 100%. And it's really shocking. And I think we all know in the last 6 months it's become really tough and really hard to make ends meet.
Yes.
Cost of living spiralling. COVID hasn't gone away. There have been natural disasters in northern New South Wales and southeast Queensland. Really cold winter for some people.
Yes.
It's just really tough. And, our research is showing that one in four are having to take on a second job to make ends meet.
Exactly.
And that around one in 10, so 10% of everybody in Australia is struggling to make ends meet every day and they're living paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah. Orange Sky, they operate all over the country?
Yeah, all over the country. We've got services from up in Darwin down to Adelaide, all throughout remote Australia as well, which is fabulous. And over in New Zealand, we've got four vans over in New Zealand.
And what do our brothers and sisters look for? They look for an orange van, orange bus. Explain that.
Yeah.
Describe that.
Yeah. So from the start, from like a little slidey door van, we've now got a fleet of 38, and they are fully fitted out with washing machines and dryers.
Yes.
And then some of our vans have showers as well. So, people can come along who are doing it tough and needing some help, have a shower, get their clothes clean, and we go back to the same place week after week so everyone knows when we're going to be there. And, one of the most important things we do is have a yarn with people. We're there to check.
While the clothes are being washed or being dry cleaned or what have you, you have a yarn, have a cup and have a yarn, eh?
Exactly. Cool. And, that's just the most important, particularly for people who are, who are really doing it tough. They need someone to listen to to listen to them and talk to them. And, so that's what us and our wonderful team of volunteers do. And it's such a great program.
And look, love, thoughts, prayers going out to homelessness, the people out there. 99% of them are really beautiful, down-to-earth people, they're just travelling through life and their situation that they're in, but they've still got a smile on their dial. Some of them switched on sharp people, and it's just the situation that they're in, and there's light at the end of the tunnel, and Orange Sky helps in regarding to that light.
Well, we hope we're part of the solution, definitely. And, you know, we're seeing a rise in homelessness of women, older women, and, you know, people who just have hit a bit of a rocky patch in their lives, and they're, you know, could be you or I tomorrow. So
exactly.
We need to be there for everyone. So, you mentioned Don't Change Clothes, Change Lives before. Mm. So this is the Sudsy Challenge is something that we run every year, and we are encouraging people to take 3 days and wear the same clothes for those 3 days in September and raise funds for the work of Orange Sky and help those who are doing it tough and experiencing homelessness. But the other more important thing is to have a conversation with their friends and their family about why they're doing it, why it's important, why homelessness matters, and, really open people's eyes to the reality of what our fellow Australians are experiencing.
Well, they're talking marketing that WOM is the way, word of mouth, and so long as we're having that conversation and telling other people, the word gets out, doesn't it?
Yeah, 100%. That's really, really clever, yeah. So, you know, it would be great if you guys wanted to join me in keeping your kid on for 3 days in September and really trying to make a change for across Australia.
Beautiful. Yeah, good concept. Sonia, thank you very much for sharing. Big shout out to the Orange Sky team. Keep doing what you're doing. Please do keep in touch, and we'll yarn soon, sister.
Thanks, Trevor. See
you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Beautiful yarn. Sonia Tufnell, her name is, Senior Fundraiser Manager at Orange Sky, and they're pushing for the month of September. Don't Change Clothes, Change Lives. New research revealed a third of Aussies fear losing their home. So what they're saying to people out there who are lucky enough to have a home, have a roof over their head, is to wear the same clothes for at least 3 days. So it saves using water and saves using washing powder and what have you, and using electricity for dryers. That way you're supporting homelessness, and also people are asking you in the family, why are you doing this? Well, there's the conversation. So a nice concept. There it is. Have you saying yarn up strong here. Have a conversation here on National Talk Black. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416.
Hello, Javi. What do you mean? I am Blanga Mia.
Oh, this is Mary G. They call him. What are you?
What kind of him? Jab e kurwan jaran lobra?
Well, Devin J, proper good singer, did you?
Jai regini ja proper kaya yulguman, ji ja proper lobra jaran. Yovan spend them jaran money blanga me, and I don't want to wait them jaran.
Well, man, we even spend my money, did you Mary G making all the money?
Well, go on then, my boy. You put him in lamb.
Hello, everybody. This is my first CD. My very first album, and I hope that you are happy you own one, and I hope that you get value for money, because I put a lot of work into this album, and it's a good music, good songs. It's me, Mary G. What a ya. Hey, what's wrong with this mop? Play properly, what's wrong with you mop? You guys sound like you guys have been on Beagle Bay Road. Play properly. Oh God, where'd I find this band from? Lucky Band.
Wagara. Hey, Javi. And I'm telling them I'm breaking one. He knew what now. He go on all over the place.
Look like they're going backwards this month.
Well, something happening, Lem. He go on all over now. Oh, he's breaking down, Nadian. We'll have to beat him.
Well, let him go. Might be we'll get better. If we don't get better, we'll jack him away.
Keep it up.
Yeah, beautiful track there. Now, Mamamu Janu here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. Daily number here is 1-800-422-416. The text number, if you want to give us a text, 045-714-0550. Don't forget our Facebook page, well, BBM987FM. Yarn Up with the ball, your own Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, BBM Bummerbrip Media, 98.7FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Now, Indigenous culture, burning can provide solutions to shocking state of environment report. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Rachel Kavanagh, Community Programs and Stakeholder Engagement Manager, Fire Sticks Alliance Indigenous Corporation. On the line, Rachel, good morning, sis. How are you?
Jingala, I'm good, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Where are you, sister? Where are you based?
I'm actually based in Coffs Harbour, but I'm currently stuck in the lines at Darwin Airport.
Darwin Airport.
The weekend up at Garma
yes.
Festival. So,
beautiful.
Yeah.
All right, fantastic. Yeah. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob. Where are you from, Rachel?
I'm a Minyibul woman from the Tweed Coast of New South Wales.
And then we're looking at the Indigenous culture burning can provide solutions to shocking state of environment report. We as First Nation people, 60,000 years, we know how to work with the land and with the sea, with the waters and what have you. So cultural burning, it's a powerful tool for looking after Mother Nature and looking after our country, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. Everything that we do within Fire Sticks Alliance is around Indigenous leadership when it comes to land management holistically. So, you know, we may come together to talk about, you know, our cultural fire practice, but really that just is one aspect of how we manage country.
Yes.
And it's really important that First Nations people are heard because we've got the solutions.
Well, exactly. And the so-called governments of the world, and if not fire departments, become students in this place.
Yeah, absolutely. It's about listening to mob now, I reckon. And, you know, our people and, you know, even my elders and elders everywhere have been screaming for this for such a long time. And, you know, we're at a really pivotal moment where the groundswell, not just within our community, but, you know, private property owners and that local grassroots movement are, you know, making government sort of turn around and listen. But the problem is, you know, they got to let go of ownership and control and just allow for that Indigenous knowledge to be implemented into country to, you know, and that's only going to benefit the future for all of us, not just us mob, but everybody.
Exactly. And the old saying, when the student is ready, the teacher will arrive. Well, students need to have an open mind and open heart and open ears, of course, for the conversation. And when you look at the cultural burning, there's also opportunity there for, funds, so to speak, a business entity. We're talking about Aboriginal Carbon Foundation, yes? You there? Hello? Rachel? Hey, you just hang up on me like that, Rachel. Must have got on the plane. Big shout out. That's Rachel Kavanagh having a yarn with her, Community Programs and Stakeholder Engagement Management, Fire Sticks Alliance Indigenous Corporation, and talking about that beautiful space, Indigenous cultural burning can provide solutions to shocking state of environment report. But she was at the Darwin Airport after the Ghana Festival up there, and she said she was in line. So she did say quickly off air that she may get cut off, and exactly that's what happened. So there it is, but big shout out to the sister. And the State of the Environment Report 2022 released this week's fund found all areas of the nation are in poor and deteriorating state as a result of increasing pressures from climate change, habitat loss and invasive species, pollution and resource extraction. So traditional Indigenous cultural burning can provide the answer to a number of the horrific results in the report. And that was our conversation there with Rachel Kavanagh. Big shout out, my sister. Travel safe. And this is your daily program, National Talk Black. Add to the conversation here. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
Yeah, remembering days. Thank you, Guy Sebastian. Trendy Trev here. I just lost Rachel Kavanagh. Got her back online. Rachel, which way, sister, you there?
Yeah,
how you leave me swinging in the breeze like that? I was fired up, part of the punt, with our conversation.
And you left me swinging. I'm talking to myself there for me.
Shut up, I was talking to myself too. I was bad-mouthing you when you were gone too. Knock off. Darling, I was just talking about the opportunity in regard to the Aboriginal Carbon Foundation. There's he say funds, or there's a business entity there in that space. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. So 5-6 Alliance have partnered with the Aboriginal Carbon Foundation to use their catalyst market, or to use that economic sort of platform,
yes,
so that mobs across Australia can actually register their projects related to caring for country, whether it be fire or land management. And what we're really trying to push is to sell these cultural fire credits as such,
yes,
for direct investment into local community. Like, so local mobs, it's owned and managed by mob as well, so it's not like there's any, you know, telling people how they can do, or, you know, how they report or any of that sort of stuff. It's all based on what they want. So it really is about that, you know, that mob leadership, and the way that they want to run it, and we're sort of just there to help give them the tools and the space to do that. You know, everyone want to talk about investing into First Nations communities with land management and all of that sort of stuff, but it's, you know, we've got to stop being tokenistic about it and really have that real genuine investment and engagement with mobs. And, you know, this is the way that we've designed it, so it is that, you know, to stop that tokenism.
Yep, no, I agree. And so there is an opportunity there, and First Nation people can get engaged into operating cultural burning on their country, but also it creates, it's a bridge builder regarding business entities with non-Indigenous government and business people as such. But holding the reins, black people got holding the reins on their country, a great opportunity.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
My sister, you catch that plane. You travel safe. Good yarning with you. And don't ever hang up with me like that again, girl. We'll talk soon, Rach. Take care, though. Bye-bye. All right, Tidale. Beautiful yarn there. Rachel Kavanagh, and Community Programs and Stakeholder Engagement Manager, 5-6 Alliance Indigenous Corporation. So, look, a fantastic space. Do check out the Aboriginal Carbon Foundation, and check out how you can operate on country in regarding the business entity of cultural burning. There it is. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong here? National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
From the palm of our mother's hands, Mucham yinan bading Allah, Gari gari galing Allah, Gadan gadan gari gari. It is our dignity, it is our identity, our indigenous culture lives on.
Bimbe, Munya, Gari Gari Gadad, Bulba.
Story of our people. They were taken away from their homeland. They were forced to be removed by the color of their skin. We are the stolen generation. Booty booty dandy dandy gada. Wow, gadi gadi.
an Aussie son. To a mum, I looked so dear, in a land I believe was mine. Oh, the trouble and the strife that followed Dad throughout his life. When we lived amongst the new morella pines. Oh, he worked the timber mill just to pay for all the bills, to keep his family out night. The snowy floods in wintertime washed away the railway lines. When we played amongst the new morella pines. Now that old bark hut is gone, but my memories linger on. For my home near that grand view, look outside. Now I hear that old school bell near that pit where I once fell. When we played amongst those new morella pines. Now one old tree, they cut it down. It was known by all around. It grew tall and it stood the test of time. Now there's no one there at all, and I don't know where they've gone. When we played amongst those new morella pines. Oh, when we played amongst those new morella
pines. Yeah, deadly track there. That's New Morella Pines, Herb Payton, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your saying, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. Yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumper Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. All right, you can text the brother as well, 045-714-0550. Don't forget our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. All right, next segment, Which Way Yarning, proudly sponsored by Piconi, IGA, Brinsmead, Edmonton. They give us a box of fruit here at Bummer Bipper Media once a week, and healthy living, healthy lifestyle. Message we deliver to our board of directors, our staff, our crew, and our school-based traineeship. And a big shout-out to Jay. Jay's from St. Andrews and with us here at Grade 10 doing some work and tuning in to what we're doing and having a look at what we're doing and educating the young brother. So fantastic. All right, with that, Edmonton Police are here in the studio. We've got Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay and his bodyguard, Stephen Grant, PLO, Police Liaison Officer. And a very good morning to you both, gentlemen. How are we?
Yeah, good morning, Trevor. How you going?
Yeah, good, good.
Trevor,
Steve?
How are you?
Good, yeah, thanks. Good. Start with you, Steve. Who are you mob? Where are you from?
Proud Jedibal Warrior from the rainforests of Ravensow and the Tully Cardwell area.
Yes, the Wit Country.
Correct.
Senior Sergeant Linda Lai, who you mob? Where do you stem from, my brother?
Look, old.
Little hillbilly fella.
Hillbilly, yeah.
Atherton lad.
Tableland boy, mate. Yeah, yeah.
White on the outside, yeah. Black on the inside, I say.
That's it, yeah.
Good to see you, Senior Sergeant Linda Lai and Stephen Grant. Look, our topic today, very important topic, National Missing Person Week. So just shed some light on that, probably, pardon the punt, but shed some light on that regarding love and thoughts and prayers are going out to loved ones, families who are searching and looking for missing people. But there's big numbers and we don't know, of course, but they're missing, so we don't know the reason why or where they are or if they're still with us. And it's a sad affair, isn't it? Sad affair.
Yeah, and so I'll start just with the definition of a missing person.
Please.
And that's a person whose whereabouts are unknown. And where there's fears for the safety or concern for the welfare of that person. So that doesn't always mean this missing person is deceased.
Sure.
It's just, you know, we don't know where they are and we're worried about.
And if we're talking missing person majority, over 18.
Yeah. Look, yeah. There is...
And when you talk about over 18, well, the individual over 18 as an adult, they can choose to live their life and be where they want to be without anyone knowing.
That's right, yep. And a lot of them people are missing and want to remain missing. They don't want to make contact with their family.
Yep, okay.
And there's no problem with that at all.
Sure, of course. Freedom of speech, freedom of life.
Yeah, and it becomes the police responsibility then to locate that person still if they're reported missing.
Sure.
Just so we can understand their circumstances.
If that individual tells you as a police officer inquiring where I am fine, let my family know. I don't want to be contacted, but I'm fine.
That's all we want. That's all we want to know.
Sure.
Yep. Exactly. Okay. Yep. So those. Yes. And look, that's a happy result.
Sure.
When we find those people, because we know that there is now no concerns for their welfare.
Yeah.
It's the ones that we don't find. That's the ones that are much more
unanswered questions.
Worrying. That's right. Mm. Yep. So
numbers are high. What sort of numbers are we talking here?
Look, there's. There's a lot of people who are reported that are actually under the age of 18. So we're saying 34,000 people who are reported missing each year, 20,000 under the age of 18.
Okay, so the numbers are high under the age of 18.
But a lot of those children may just be absconding. And we do have our regular absconders up here.
Well, when you say missing, what's the description? How long is a person classed as missing?
We don't actually have a time limit to that, and we wouldn't put a time limit to that. So some if we've got a child.
No, but if someone comes to the police or rings the police, look, my husband missing. He didn't come home last night.
Yeah, look, it would depend on the circumstances. If he didn't come home last night, but that's a regular occurrence for that person, that they stay at friends or relatives' places.
Sure.
Then we would want to link that with what concerns we had for that person. So
okay.
Didn't come home last night. But does this all the time.
Sure.
You know, turns up by lunchtime and it's 10 o'clock in the morning, but we'd probably wait till lunchtime
okay,
or later before we'd worry about them being missing.
Looking at the so-called habits or the
But we do then have our high-risk missing people, and they'll be vulnerable young children, anyone under the age of 12, which if they're reported missing, will if we then have concerns for that person, they would be a missing person.
Sure.
Pretty well straight away, as would be someone with disability or intellectual issue.
Exactly.
Or has gone missing without medication that they need to take.
How far does the Queensland Police go in regarding searching? I mean, you've still got a job to do, and you've still got to, you can't focus on one thing in regards to, but your eyes and ears open. And today we're going to go back and catch up with the family to see if anything has been done, or go to the place where the person was staying before, that sort of stuff, while continuing with your job as a police officer.
Yeah,
hard to roster?
Look, a high-risk missing person, we'll stay with that job and exhaust all of our inquiries before we can sort of look at moving on. We can't just take a missing person's report. We can consider someone high risk.
Sure.
And then forget about that person. Other ones, we will make our inquiries with sometimes previous history where they've turned up, family relations.
Mm-hmm.
Look, you know, I can think of one of recent. It was just a person that had gone missing and was camping, you know. And we just had to just...
Didn't communicate with anybody.
Didn't communicate. And we just had to make our inquiries.
Sometimes
we've
got to get away.
That's right. And we just had to make inquiries in that area, and they were located, and it was you know,
sure.
it was a good result. So, there's all varying reasons why people go missing.
Exactly.
And not all of them are intentional.
Mm.
And just on that point too, Trevor, I'd just like to say that we're normally updated on a regular basis through the QPS, whether... young children didn't make it home, has caught with friends.
Sure.
We're updated the very next day, so that goes right across the state.
There's got to be communication from both parties, isn't
Correct.
There? Yeah, from the people inquiring and for you as the police officers.
So especially with children, obviously it comes as a priority to us.
Yes.
And, we do look upon that to locate that person as safe as well. Mm. Because like we said, we're getting updates on a regular basis.
Mm.
He or she didn't come home from school last night, gone to a friend's place, hasn't informed anyone.
Sure.
So.
And as young as they are and think they know everything or
Correct.
No one can hurt them and what have you, they make their own decisions, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's where, and we look at the resources that we've got as well you know, if it's a high risk missing person, and we do need to use our air resources, water, people go missing at sea.
Sure, exactly.
Definitely, use our water police, and you know, other, and we've got our criminal investigation branch, child protection unit, all get involved when you know, we have concerns for someone's welfare.
Well, accidents could be happening as well. A missing person could be going, just taken off and going bush, and next time fall down a gully or something to that effect, and you know, no mobile contact or what have you. You know, and if we're all out searching, then you know.
The other good thing is with technologies, those with the drone systems in place comes in very adequate to the service.
Yeah, true.
That's a very powerful.
Use all the tools that are available.
Yes.
Yep. Exactly. Did you want to mention somebody, local missing person?
Yeah, so we do have a local missing person that is on the list.
I'm looking at your poster there. Hey, what have you got there? 16-odd people there, black and white, male and females, young and old.
Also, just look at the date. What date? Some of these people have been missing over 40 years.
Yeah, gotcha. Now, these pictures are online or at police stations? And
yep, so yes.
When you're talking about 35,000 estimated, you don't have like 400,000 posters out there.
No, but on our Australian Federal Police website, if we go into the missing person section of that, we can go... tab through all the photographs and circumstances of these people.
Sure.
And, you know, we can narrow the searches down to your state. We do have our local missing person here, Alison Bernard. So she's originally from Kawanyama, but went missing from Archer River back in February 2013.
Okay.
We've made
enough. What's that, 29 years ago?
2013.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
So we're coming up to the sort of 9 years ago, and we have had a number of searches for Alison, but we don't want to forget about her. So she will absolutely be on this missing person list until we can confirm what actually did happen to her. And that's a good example of someone that has gone
missing. I said, love and prayers going to Kawanyama mob up that way, who's related or know of Alison Bernard. But the police are just doing their job up there as well, looking after the community. But eyes and ears open in regard to that space, or when they're travelling in the car and seeing a young woman in a bush there, what's going on there? Better stop. That sort of stuff. You're sort of acting in that sense, aren't you?
And look, when are these these matters hit the media, we always appeal for the public to come forward with any information that they may have that could lead to, you know, to their whereabouts. And certainly Alison's one we've been looking for a long time. So, you know, some people may withhold information for whatever reason. And, you know, that's where our Crime Stoppers comes in handy, that people can anonymously give information.
Exactly.
And hopefully, locate someone that may have been missing for a long time. Mm.
But the other thing is, we're talking about whether it be mental or a bump in the head, where they're out and about and not so-called dementia, but in regarding don't know where they are, don't know who they are, and just walking into a service station, getting a hamburger and then walking out again, but they're missing, they don't even know it. I mean, we don't know the circumstances,
exactly right.
Do we?
Like, and
guessing games.
There are people who are just sleeping rough, you know. There's our homeless people whose family are aware that they've been homeless but haven't seen them for a long period of time.
True, and they could be homeless anywhere.
That's right.
In the country.
And they'll come into police station to report those types of people missing just for their own knowledge, to know that person's still okay and still travelling wherever they may be in the countryside. So,
look, it's so many topics we talk about on the show, which we're yarning, and it's great to have you guys here and continue our conversation. It's very, very important. And we talk about celebration of Christmas and what have you, drink driving, and also talk about the cameras. We had that yarn. Mm. That was fantastic. And here we are now talking about missing persons. And, like, I'm living my life. I'm paying my bills, you know. I'm feeding my family. Mm. You know what I mean? But you don't think of the situation that people are in regarding missing persons. I mean, don't really come across my mind.
No.
Because no one in my family is missing, you know.
They're good yarns to share, because I think people's contact with the police, they don't realise a lot of the times that we're there during the worst times of your life as well.
True.
So it's not always negative, and, and we're definitely out there trying to, you know, keep the community safe and, you know, in relation to missing persons, exhaust our avenues to try and bring that person back safely.
Well, I emphasise as well, love and thoughts and prayers are going out to loved ones out there who are looking for their loved ones. And, yeah,
and the other thing is also, Trevor, is Crime Stoppers. There's a national number there that you can call, 1-800-333-000. You can name anonymous.
Okay.
And you can also provide information on people who may be believed have been sighted.
Okay.
Which is a good source of information.
Information
back to the police.
Yes.
And a lot of it, as I said, it's also confidential.
Yeah, sure, exactly. Yeah, thank you. You know, and look, it's the individual's prerogative if they don't want to be found.
Mm.
But to communicate with the police, that's what I'm saying. So if you're a missing person, pulled away from your family, and you listen to this conversation, just reach out to the police, let them know, hey, I'm okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
But don't talk to me.
Mm.
Yeah. Don't let them know where I am. I don't want to know. Yeah, honestly, we're having this conversation. Here we are. There could be somebody out there listening to this conversation.
That's right. And that information's not shared with the people that have made the
And the reason for them being missing.
No, that's exactly right. And there's a lot of cases that we do go back to family and say, look, we've located them. They're fine. They don't want to be found.
Sure.
Yep.
Fair enough.
Yep.
I'll leave it at that. All right. Thank you very much. A very powerful conversation, very important conversation. And a big shout out to Edmonton Police there. Thank you very much. And you want to add to the conversation there, brother?
Trevor, just before I'd like to go, I'd just like to send a shout out to the new PLAs that started at Mergan and Cherbourg.
Okay.
Renee Cupid and Tom Langton.
All right.
Commenced this week.
Excellent.
So I wish them all the best.
Fantastic.
And they can always drop into the best coffee shop in Mergan at Coffee Bar 4605.
Give them a promote.
That's
correct. Promote them. Fantastic. And look at them, mob them too, be working up here and taking over your job very soon.
Yes.
There you go. Watch your back there, brother.
Okay.
Big shout out. Hey, good talking to you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank
all you. The best. We'll talk soon, eh?
Thanks. Thank you.
All right. Beautiful yarn there. Edmonton Police, Boys in Blue. And talking about National Missing Person Week, and that's 31st July to 6th of August. So now's that time. But look, it's on loved ones' mind every day, 365 days a year. So missing ones out there. Look, if you are listening in and you don't want to be contacted as such, then just reach out to the police, let them know you're okay, and then continue with your life if that is the case. But keep your eyes and ears open. You can contact the police, like I said, 1-800-333-000, that's Crime Stoppers, and you can remain anonymous, so people don't need to know and what have you. If you've seen someone or you know where they are, what have you, just make that statement as such. All right, you might stay tuned. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. Daily number is 1-800-422-416. Got about 15 minutes left on the program, so do add to the conversation. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Arpa kar, arpa kar.
Meetya Booyah, Albert David, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. We've got Selwyn on the line. Good morning, brother.
Good morning, brother. The main reason I was going to ring in is give you my take on Four Corners about the Solomon Islands. But before I do that, on some of the stuff that's spoken about so far, like missing person.
Yes.
I was up for missing person. In 1973, I was thrown down with in handcuff from Darwin to Bamili, called Barunga now. Mm. And in the territory, it wasn't illegal to have a body name. And as well, my first name, Selwyn, couldn't be pronounced properly. They called me Solomon. And my mum had a missing person. And there was an old fellow that was in a institution down in Adelaide. And from a mental health conference that we were at, that I picked him up. He's from Palmer, but he didn't know who he was. And brother, on that... brother from, I think Yarraway was talking about crime and all that stuff, and I'm really glad about his call, because the Townsville and Cairns, often on the social media site, they attack us collectively, our collective ethnicity. But if they would have listened to that brother or listened to other callers, they will see our humanity. Not only are they, the white fellows are victim of crime, but we are too.
Exactly.
So, you know, all they want to do is attack our collective humanity. And brother, on that stuff about the talk down there, brother, and, you know, Victoria or Melbourne, they're so far ahead in activism, and when they want to close the communities, the remote community in WA, they were well ahead, all them white fellows there, and I'm wondering, if they've been, a lot of them go to the university, and at the university, none of them, Victoria, brother, he's elected at that, and he's an honourable bugger, that fella, and me, brother, on that Four Corners, brother Tony there, listening, brother. After Mandela come out, and Ted Koppel, on the Ted Koppel show, there was a fellow called Fred Edelman. He put it to Nelson Mandela after 6 months of being released. And I think about that Four Corners program, you know, like the champions of the free world, many white fellows, you know, like U.S., France, Great Britain, and Australia. They're supposed in the New World Order, the global policemen of the Asia Pacific. And what? Well, I feel like a pleasure there. Where to see you, with brother?
Mm.
Here they are, and you know, here in this, of course, you know my history, brother. The Festival of Lights up to Darnley. I'm also biracial, but my old people came from New Caledonia, from Lifuals, I think, and went up to Darnley. And I suppose I'm a Kanaka too, brother, yeah. But not a biracial Kanaka people here in Australia. And the Solomon Island people themselves. I think what also pisses them off is what's happening over, I feel like you're in the West Indian, brother. What the Indonesian are doing over there, the genocide and the Indonesian, they're knocking down forest station. And not only that, with Syrian, five journalists, I think they were white fellows, that got killed when they invaded East Timor. And Mrs. Shackleton, she wanted the body, the widow, I wanted the body to be brought back. And this free trade, you know, it's because of free trade that they're ripping us off because of our arse. And they say, bugger all about what's happening in what Indonesia are doing to the West Indian people, the Melanesian people too, brother. And Pauline Nelson goes about the Muslim over there in Middle East. And up here, there's lost this big small up here in Indonesia. So that's fair enough. And they interviewed people, they humanized the people in the Solomon Islands, the Four Corners. Did they ever do a, interview with those West Indian, brother?
Exactly.
And on that, I might end up doing it tomorrow, but he said, this Ken Edelman says to Nelson Mandela, and after he said all this, he's a bit long-winded like me, that Ken Edelman, after he said all this, the audience, they gasped, you know, brother, and this is what Ken Edelman said. Those of us who share, he said to Mandela, you share your human rights and against apartheid, have been somewhat disappointed by the models you have held up since you have been released from jail. And you praise Gaddafi, Arafat, and Fidel Castro, and he went on about their records on human rights violation and all that kind of thing. He went on for a while. And like I said, the audience gasped, and all Mandela did was a few words, and he said this. He said, the mistake, you are not a journalist or whatever you are, the people that are critical analyzed, your mistake is to suppose that your enemies are our enemies. I love that, brother. You know?
Fantastic.
And all the Michael, they, you know, people of color take the colonized countries that the people of color, their enemies are, and it was China. China was trading here with us for a long time.
Exactly.
And 1974, I think, or 72, Gough Whitlam, he took a mob of blackfellas over there to open up free trade because he knew from the Lacastans and they, you know, through
the relationship we had.
They knew that, and that's what Mandela said. They suppose that our enemy is going to be their enemy, even though there's this human violation over in China, even there's the order of Kassaf. Yeah, brother, thank you very much, brother.
Thank you, my brother. Make some very, very powerful points there. Yeah, and we did trading with Chinese for years and across the globe, always in our canoes and out about. Import, export, there it is, trading's everywhere, and they always had relationships. And as he pointed out there, someone that the Australian government used black people for that relationship to continue, so to speak. But, yeah, there it is. And, look, it's come to time where Trinity Trevor signs off for today. And thank you very much for your company, Mob. And a one-hour program, National Talk Black. We're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. A big shout-out to the First Nation Radio Station across this deadly country. Deadly Black Network. And thank you, NERS, National News Radio Service. Put us across the airways, across the country. With that, love prayers going out to the Roach family with Uncle Archie Roach with us in spirit. And we'll go to his song and take us up to the news, Old Mission Road.